We are sitting between Apsara Kund and Navala Kund. At Apsara Kund, Krishna is eternally residing in all of his various incarnations. It is also the place where, when Sri Sri Radha and Shyam Sundar performed their Rasa Leela during the spring season, Vasant, they performed a very special pastime here, very intimate Leela. Not far from here is Chandra Srovar and the Rasa Stali, where Krishna would begin his Rasleela during the spring season. This is described by Jayadev Goswami in his Gita Govinda. At this place, at the height of the ecstasies of their loving relationships, in the unity between Krishna and his gopis, in Navala Kund, Krishna's melts into that kund. The ecstasy of his love fills Navala Kund, and the ecstasy of the gopis' love of meeting with Krishna fills Apsara Kund. That love in Sanskrit is called rasa. Rasa, spelled backward, is sara, or lake. So here rasa has become sara in the unity of the love of the divine couple and their associates, Apsara Kund and Navala Kund. Nitai go Pemanandi. So this place where we're now sitting, this is known as Puncheri. So most of you can understand, Punch means tail. We're at the tail end. We saw all of a sudden Govardhan just disappeared. He was so high. We come to the tail end of... That's why he was so tall, like Govindakund. That's the tail. Now we come to the tail end. In just a few minutes, we'll get to take darshan of my favorite deity in all of Govardhan Hill. Putrika Lauta Bhava. Now there's two interesting stories about Lauta Bhava. One is that you know the cowherd boys, they all have latis, these cowherd boy sticks. But Lauta Bhava, his stick is so fat and big, it can't be called Lati anymore, because it's called Lauta. So, Vinandanandan, he lifted up the Govardhan Hill. You may have seen many pictures, the cowherd boys, they all put their Latis to help him. So Lauta Baba, he also put his Lauta. And he was thinking his stick is so big that everybody thinks that actually that Kanhaiya is holding up this hill. Actually, it's my lota, it's my big stick that's actually keeping everything up. So Krishna, he's in everyone's heart. He can understand everyone's desires and thoughts. So he immediately let the hill come down. Then Lota Baba was just shaking. He said, then he realized, no, actually, Lala, he's holding up the hill. Then he put it back up. Other pastime was that one time, Lota Baba, he cooked some very nice prasad for Nandanandan. Just at that time, he saw both Krishna and Balaram going by in a chariot. being driven by Akrura. And he called out, Lala, Lala, oh Kala, I made some very nice prasad for you. You please come and take. At that time, the Lord spoke immortal words that we hear even now today. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yadhyada Charati Sreistas, whatever the great man does, the common man will follow. So everyone's following since that time. What did he say? He said, just now coming. Allah the Baba said, well, I'm not going to eat anything until you come. No, no, I'm just now coming. We still hear these immortal words. And we still see the immortal following of these words. Well, I'm not going to eat anything. No, no, if I don't come tonight, then surely I will come tomorrow morning. Well, I'm not eating anything till you come. So, no, no, not tomorrow morning, but surely day after that. There's no doubt I'll come. I'm just now coming. Well, I'm waiting here. I'm not eating anything till you come. He said, well, if not the day after that, the day after that I'll surely come. You, don't worry, I'm just now coming. So we will see Lata Baba sitting there. You just look at the expression on his face. He's, for 5,000 years he's been waiting. You'll see him just there sitting with this look on his face. And he's not eating anything. Sometimes you'll see the devotees, they put para into his mouth, but he's not making any attempt. He's waiting. He's 5,000 years, he's still waiting. When will Krishna return? He's still waiting. So when we will go by that temple and take darshan, so at that time we can all pray, because we can get that same patience and determination. This is mentioned in 10th canto and 14th chapter of Lord Brahma's prayers. What does he say? Tate no kampa susamikshamana unjana ivatma krite vipakam vakubir layam namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhakti. That anyone who goes on suffering the reactions to all his past sinful activities, but just goes on waiting and waiting patiently, that when will Krishna give his mercy on me? Then, daya, jiveta yo mukti pade sa daya bhak. Daya means inheritance. Just like we also have this word sampradaya. Because we know inheritance, our father, our grandfather, they have gathered so much wealth together, and that we inherit. So similarly, all our previous acharyas, they have a huge amount of wealth of knowledge that they've gathered together. So that is sampradaya. We are inheriting all this huge wealth of knowledge, how to go back to home, back to God. Yeah. So that means... So he says, anyone who does like this, just patiently waiting with great determination and patience, then he will inherit what? Muktipade, the kingdom of God. So Srila Sridhar Swami, on his commentary on this verse, he says, what does a son have to do to inherit the property of his father? He simply has to remain alive somehow or another. Automatically he'll inherit the property of his father. So in the same way, when we see Lauta Baba, we can just pray to him for that patience and determination. Somehow or other, just by coming on these prikamas and associating with great souls like His Holiness Radhanath Swami and the Sringa Maharaj and Chandramoli Swami and Nanara Swami and Parthasarathi, so many great souls are here. If we can associate with it, somehow or other, just keep on going in Krishna consciousness, one day we will inherit the kingdom of God. Bolo Lauta Baba ki. So this very quiet and beautiful place that we're sitting, this is Sura Bikund. As we know, Indra, he committed a huge apparatus. Every day, different devotees have been discussing avoiding apparatus. So generally, what is our apparatus? You know? Sometimes we get upset with some devotee. Oh, you nonsense. Stupid. We say things like that to devotees. But Indra, he tried to kill all of the Vrishvasis. This was the type of apparatus he committed. We can't even fathom what type of apparatus that could possibly be. He sent that Sambhadika cloud. His mission was to destroy Braj. And we heard so sweetly from the mouth of the Brijvasi boy how Krishna lifted up the hill, how Radharani was keeping it on her eyelashes. We were listening to him, we were thinking one time, Mahaprabhu was wandering around Braj. And he saw the two parrots, male parrot and female parrot. They were discussing about, they were having argument, dwand. Sukha bole, Amar Krishna, Giri Raj, Udalila. Sukha says, my Krishna, he lifted up that Govardhan hill. The male parrot is Sukha. Sari, Sari means a female. Sari bole, Satyavate, Amar Radha, Shakti Sancharila. Yes, it's a true fact. He lifted that hill because Radharani gave him the Shakti to do it. Anyhow, he kept, of course, Madhu Mangal, he says no. Actually, I learned so many mantras, it was by my mantras that the hills remained up for 7 days. Because I know so many Vedic mantras, I was able to maintain this hill. So then Indra, he came, he saw what was going on after 7 days and seven nights of rain. Actually, this was a special benediction on the Vrishvasis. This whole Leela was a very special benediction to the Vrishvasis. Because most of them only saw Lala for a few minutes or a few hours. In the morning, Mother Yasoda would bathe Krishna and dress him and feed him. Then he would go off with the cowherd boys. So all day long he was with the cowherd boys. And when he would go out to the forest and everyone in Nandagram, they would watch as Lala went to the forest. They'd see him for a few minutes as he went. Then they would see him as he came back. And of course the gopis would meet him in the evening. So everyone just saw Lala for a little while. But now, for 7 days and seven nights, uninterrupted darshan of the moonlight face of Govinda. 7 days and seven nights. Everyone in Braj got darshan of Lala for 7 days and seven nights, uninterrupted darshan. They were so ecstatic. They didn't think about sleeping. They didn't think about drinking. They didn't think about eating.
Because I can see all of you are worried. When is it? Is it going to be prasad sometime? They didn't even worry about that. Seven days and seven nights, uninterrupted darshan of the moonlight face of Govinda. So then Indra, he came, he saw what was going on, he went, oops. He realized that he'd made a big mistake. Not just a big mistake, massive mistake, massive opera. He called, he told that Sambhartika club, hey, get out of here, beat it quick, go, go, go. And he ran away with all his army who'd come with him, and he was like, let's get out of here, beat it quick. He went back to Indraloka, he sat down on his throne, he was just... He's Sachimata, she couldn't figure out what's the matter. He doesn't come home, he's just sitting there. He leans on this side, he leans on that side, he doesn't eat, he doesn't sleep, he doesn't come to see me, he doesn't talk to me. So she went to Brihaspati. You please go see what's wrong with my Patidev. So Brihaspati went there. As soon as Brihaspati heard what had happened, he said, now you really did it. You really blew it. Even if you go and beg forgiveness, Krishna, he won't even see you from the corner of the corner of the corner of his eye. You're really in trouble. Somehow or other, you have to take shelter of a devotee of Krishna. If a devotee will intercede for you, then maybe there's some hope. And best devotee, because Krishna, he's known as Gopal. He loves cows like anything. If you can find a devotee and she happens to be a cow also, then maybe there's some hope. Better you go appeal to the Saravi, the Servi cow. So Indra, he came down here, riding on his Ayravat elephant, when he saw Nandalala immediately, he fell down in the dust of Braj with his big crown and everything. He was king of heaven, and he fell down in the dust. Well, I just walked by, not even from the corner of the corner of the eye, even acknowledge his existence. Sitting here, now I'm really in trouble. So he says, sir, please go there, do something. So here in this place, in this beautiful Servi Kund, Servi begged and pleaded on behalf of Indra. That actually, you know, Indra, he's your devotee, he just got a little puffed up, you know, he forgot. But actually, he's like a little child, you know, he doesn't, you know, sometimes he doesn't know what he's doing, you know, so you should, you know, but actually he's your devotee. He's taking, you know, so nice care of the universal affairs and everything, you know, he's doing service. He just made a little mistake. You should actually forgive him. You know, your Rupa Goswami, he has a very beautiful verse that discussing Dhridhavibha, he taught me this verse from Pajavali. Dina bandhu iti nama te smaram yadavendra patito hamusai dina bandhu iti nama te smaram yadavendra patito hamusai bhaktavatsalataya tvahi srute Mama kamridayama shukam pate Bhakta vatsalataya tvai srute Mama kamridayama shukam pate Dina Bandhu iti nama tesram. By remembering that name, Dina Bandhu, Yadavendra, oh Yadavendra. Krishna's another name is Yadavendra. Oh Yadavendra, Patit. Toham, I am very, very fallen. But by remembering that name, Dinabandhu, Patitoham Utsahe, we know Utsaha, I feel a little encouraged. I'm Patit, I'm Deen, and his name is Dinabandhu. I'm Deen, Deen him, I'm very fallen. Patit, we say Patit. Patit means fallen. Dinabandhu iti namate smaram yadavindram patitoham utsahe. But I feel a little encouraged. If he's, I'm Deen, he's friend of the Deens, he's Dinabandhu, so I feel a little encouraged. Bhakta vatsalataya swahisrute, and hearing about his wonderful love for his devotees. Mamakam ridayam ashukam pati. My heart is quivering in ecstasy. So Krishna's Dinabandhu. He's a friend of those who were very fallen. So Swarupi said, actually, you know, you're Dinabandhu, you're a friend of the fallen, so you should be merciful to him. So Krishna relieved Indra of that huge aparadha. So all of you have come here to this very, very sacred place. This is one of the nicest places, but it's so peaceful and quiet here. Beautiful lake, so many beautiful trees. There's a beautiful tamal tree. You see this blackish tree over here where that monkey just stood up? This is a beautiful tamal tree. They're always very blackish and reminds Srimati Radha and Krishna. So here in this place, all of our aparadhas are forgiven. Even Indra, he made such a grievous aparadha, but still it got forgiven in this place in Survikund. So all of you come here on this very auspicious day of Govardhan Puja. We're chanting this glorious Maha Mantra. We've come to this holy place. The devotees, by their mercy, have sprinkled this water from Survikund all over our heads. So we've become free from all our aparadhas. Now, don't make any more. You've all become free today, now don't make any more. Survikund ki. It is a repeated theme. That without the intervention of the prayers of Krishna's dear devotees, we will never be forgiven for our sins. Kaliya had killed the Brijavasis. So many birds, so many trees, even the gopas. What kind of terrible sin is that? Yet when his wives, who are dear devotees of the Lord, appeal to Krishna with great love and compassion, Krishna not only forgave him, but gave him bhakti. In Mahaprabhu's Leela, there are many such stories. Only a few of them are recorded in our scriptures, but there are innumerable stories. Jagai and Madhai. On the prayers of Nityananda Prabhu, they were given Krishna Prema. Gopal Chakravarti, such terrible offenses he committed. Gopal Chapala. But when the devotees prayed for their deliverance, Mahaprabhu not only forgave them of their sins, but gave them love of God. Dinabandhu Prabhu has explained so nicely the extent of the aparadhas of Indra. We have heard of Vaishnava aparadha, but he tried to murder every living entity in all of Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Due to his false pride,
This is very important, to know that it is false pride that is the origin of all offenses. And it is humility before the Lord's devotees that can forgive us from those offenses. When Indra humbled himself to fall prostrate at the hoof of a cow, can you imagine? Indra is the king of heaven. Practically all of the demigods follow his command. He sits in his court along with his wife Sachi, and the apsaras are dancing for him, the gandharvas are singing for him, the great devatas and the sages are bowing down and offering prayers to him. This is his conditioning. But in that conditioning, if you think that anything is your own property, your position, your abilities, your body, then you'll become proud. And when you become proud, you think you have the right to make judgments about others. And then you make offense. An offense to a devotee is far more critical to our spiritual lives than offense against the Lord himself. So we have to be very, very careful of this false pride. Because when we see this false pride creeping in our hearts, we can know for sure it will be the cause of aparadha and eventually our downfall. Whoever we are. Indra, because he was such a special devotee, taking such an incredible service for the Lord, conducting the affairs of the heavenly planets, directing the department of rain for the whole universe. Krishna gave him a chance. When he committed this drastic aparadha, he became ashamed. When Brihaspati told him to go to Brahma, and Brahma told him to go to Surabhi, here was the king of heaven with tears of regret in his eyes, really, really humble. He was bowing down before a cow. Hare Krishna. He was taking shelter of Mother Cow. When we give up all material conceptions of who a Vaishnava is and understand what is their connection to Krishna, how they are serving Krishna, how they are dear to Krishna, and we humble ourselves in that spirit, then we can get the mercy of the Lord as Indra did. Surabhi begged Krishna, please forgive him. She saw only the good in him. And thus, Lord Krishna gave Indra his great benediction of allowing him to go to Govindakund and perform Abhishekam. He allowed him to engage in his transcendental loving service. Surabhikund is the place where we beg for forgiveness from offenses. It is also the place where we pray to the Lord of our heart to give us the realization of the importance of the mercy of the devotees in our life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So let us pray. Let us pray from the very, as Dinabandhu Prabhu would say, the core of the core of the core of our hearts. Let us pray that Mother Surabhi will bless us with the true sincerity and humility to appreciate the association of the devotees and pray at their lotus feet that by their prayers and blessings there is hope that we can overcome our sinful tendencies and engage as the servant of the Lord in pure devotion. Let us pray that somehow or other we can sincerely be utterly afraid to commit offenses against the Lord's dear servants and please them as our life and soul. This is the place that Uddhava, the dear cousin of Lord Krishna, performed great tapasya to achieve the goal of his life. Uddhava was the dearest, most confidential friend of Lord Sri Krishna in both Mathura and Dwarka. In fact, he was close with Krishna that practically from morning till night they were together. They would sit together, eat together, laugh together, rest together. And Krishna would confide with Uddhava with the very innermost thoughts of his heart. Therefore, there was no better person to take his message to Vrindavan, to give to Nanda Yashoda, and especially the Brajagopis. When Krishna came, when Uddhava came to Vrindavan, he was driving Krishna's chariot. He was wearing Krishna's dress and Krishna's ornaments. There would be no doubt that he was truly the authorized messenger of the Lord. Upon seeing the bhakti of Nanda, Yashoda, and the Gopas, Uddhava came to the realization that he did not even have a single drop in comparison to the ocean of love that they had for Krishna in the separation that they were feeling. When Uddhava delivered that message to gopis at Uddhava Kyari, and he saw the ecstatic intoxication of the gopis headed by Srimati Radharani, how they were constantly weeping and crying. There was not a single thought that possibly could come to their mind except the intense longing for Shyam Sundar. Uddhava understood that this is the ultimate stage of pure love. He did not even consider that there was a fraction of a particle of a drop compared to the ocean of their devotion. Uddhava wanted to take the dust of their lotus feet and worship it with his heart and soul. But he was a great prince, and they were simple cowherd girls. He did not want to transgress etiquette and embarrass them. Thus he came to this place, Uddhava Kund, and here he offered prayers and performed tapasya to achieve the ultimate goal of all his aspirations, to become a piece of grass or a little shrub and the earth of Vrindavan, so that the gopis and their maidservants and the servants of their maidservants may step on the top of his head and put the dust of their lotus feet there eternally. Shri Uddhava Dev ki. So this place reveals the supreme glories of Vrindavan over all other spiritual abodes, and also the reveals the true humility of a Vaishnava and their deep, deep appreciation for the essence of all spirituality, to take the dust of the feet of the servants of the Lord on our heads and worship it with our hearts and souls. Jai Jai Sri Radhe.
What comes into mind is that Uddhava, who was a disciple of Brihaspati, came to the realization that knowledge in comparison to bhakti is like a straw in comparison to a mountain, a very insignificant size. And therefore, he wanted to learn this bhakti by becoming the very, very low servant of the dearest devotees of Krishna, the gopis. Uddhava actually prayed, as Maharaj said, to take birth as grass. He did not dare to aspire for a higher birth. He thought, grass is enough for me, because then I can get the dust, and this dust will be purifying me through and through. In Krishna consciousness, we can learn that we similarly must aspire for a very, let me say, servitude or service-like position. Usually, usually a person wants to have a high position, and also in Krishna consciousness, one can become deluded by wanting to become a high devotee with great realizations, with great this and that. But it's safest to be in a humble position, because then you can get the mercy. The moment when we are becoming pride, all our realizations are in great danger to be lost. The example has been given of a fruit. When the fruit is not protected by skin, but the skin goes, then the fruit can easily be eaten by flies. Imagine a nice papaya. It looks so healthy, wealthy, and wise. But the moment the skin is taken away from the papaya, immediately so many black flies come, who in matter of 10 minutes take care that the whole fruit decomposes and then comes into the rotten state. This is also when a devotee, although he may have realizations and everything, is not protected by the skin of humility. The moment that skin goes, it goes so fast. It is amazing.
how fast our realizations decompose and we become something less than bhaktas. Remember, tomorrow you can make the experiment in your life. You take a banana, take away the skin, put it in the open, and you will see how fast, you don't even know from where they come, the flies come and eat it away. This is happening when you lose the skin of your humility. You do not know from where it comes. You do not know how it came, but all of a sudden you feel miserable. Please don't make this experiment. Please keep the skin of humility. But just so that you learn, tomorrow you can make maybe you 800 people can stand around one banana. We don't want to waste many bananas. And before the breathless audience, one can peel the banana, and you will see how fast this nice fruit becomes useless. So this is what we can learn all over Braj, but here is a good place to learn this also. Keep your skin of humility intact and strengthen it every day so that it becomes real thick. And then every realization which you have, not only the highest, but just the tiny realizations will remain fresh, juicy, and will serve you throughout the life. Siudhava ji ki jai! Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Gau Premanandi jai!
Let us very enthusiastically welcome His Holiness Satchinanda Maharaj. We can do louder than that, please.
To our right side is Shiva Kori. This small lake embodies a very sweet pastime which reveals
the causeless mercy of Srimati Radharani upon those who take shelter of her lotus feet. In this area, there was a jackal. Jackal is considered a very low-classed beast. Even amongst the animals, jackal is untouchable. If a fox or a wolf associates with a jackal, in orthodox animal society, they may lose their caste. So this jackal was seen by some children, and they began to shout at it, chase after it with sticks, and beat it with sticks. He was feeling terrible pain being beat by the sticks of these children. So he ran for his very life, and he hid into a fox hole. The children then lit fire to the foxhole. And the jackal was crying out in great pain and agony. At that time, Srimati Radharani and her friends were passing through this area, and they heard the crying of someone in great distress. So Sri Radharani told her friends, please find out who that is. Sri Radharani came to see this jackal.
The jackal fell at her feet in great helplessness. Srimati Radharani, by her great kindness, she petted that jackal on the head with her lotus-like hand and awarded the jackal Krishna Prani. Shri Radharani Ki! So in this age of Kali Yuga, we are all more or less jackals. And our only hope is to really humble ourselves in the mood that His Holiness Satchinanda Maharaj so beautifully explained. We must free ourselves of pride, understand what is our real position, insignificant, helpless, hopeless, utterly depending on the mercy of the Lord and His devotees. In that mood, to appeal to Srimati Radharani by very sincerely, in a humble state of mind, crying out her holy names. It is quite appropriate that we come and worship this particular consciousness as we enter into Sri Radha Kunda. Shiva Kali is the boundary that begins the village of Sri Radha Kunda. Sri Radha Kunda is the supreme most holy of all holy places. There is no more sanctified abode in either the material or spiritual worlds. We will circumambulate Radha Kunda, and the day after tomorrow, we will come here to offer our worship to Sri Radha Kunda. At this time, let us offer our most prostrated obeisances to Sri Shama Kunda and Radha Kunda, who are none different than the ecstatic, ambrosial love of Sri Radha and Krishna in liquid form. And let us pray that we can be in a proper state of consciousness to give pleasure to the Lord as we are dancing and chanting in our Govardhan Parikrama. Let us now pray for the mercy of Sri Radharani. In the mood of that jackal, how many times have we been, birth after birth, beaten by the sticks of Maya, burned by the flames of illusion? Let us cry out for Sri Radharani's mercy and the mercy of her devotees. Shri Shamakund, Shri Radhakund ki jai. Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Kali Yuga, Radharani appears as Gauranga Mahaprabhu to deliver all the jackals of this age through the divine Mahamantra. Let us offer our obeisances.
We have arrived at the temple of Shri Shri Radha Kunya Bihari, a temple which was established by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. You can see, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has asked all his Gaudiya Math temples, next to Radha Krishna, or here Radha Kunya Bihari, is the combined form that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And to your right, you can see the Pushpa Samadhi of Srila Gokishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Shri Radha Kunya Bihari ki jai. Srila Gokishore Das Babaji Maharaj ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.
shortly pray for the blessings of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that we can enter with the proper conception into this most holiest place, Shishi Radha Kund. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, Dham, the holy Dham, means Nam, the holy name. By the holy name, you can enter the holy Dham.
Shri Radha Kund, Shyama Kund ki jai!
Please enjoy this most... Enjoy is not the word. Please take this most beautiful darshan. From here you can actually look to the Sangam where Radha Kund and Shyama Kund meet in the unmanifested form. There's always a beautiful golden throne where Radha and Krishna are situated, right there at the Sangam. This Kund is actually the liquid form of Srimati Radharani. It is liquid mercy. So just by looking at it, see the color. Srimati Radharani has a color of gold, a flesh, a lightning, and a champaka flower. So that is now reflected here. You can see how she smiles at all of you after you have done this wonderful parikrama.
Tapta kanchana gaurangi rale vrindavaneshwari vrishabhanu svate devi pranamami hari.
Tapta kanchana gaurangi rale vrindavaneshwari
vrishabhanu svate devi pranamami hari.
Tapta kanchana gaurangi
Shri Jawaharlal Nehru.